Our reading this morning is taken from John's Gospel, chapter 3, and we start at verse 1. And that's on page 1065 of the Church Bibles. Now, there was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a member of the Jewish ruling council. He came to Jesus at night and said, "Rabbi, we know you are a teacher who has come from God, for no one could perform the miraculous signs you are doing if God were not with him." In reply, Jesus declared, "I tell you the truth, no one can see the kingdom of God unless he is born again." "How can a man be born when he is old?" Nicodemus asked. "Surely he cannot enter a second time into his mother's womb to be born." Jesus answered, "I tell you the truth, no one can enter the kingdom of God unless he is born of water and the Spirit. Flesh gives birth to flesh, but the Spirit gives birth to spirit. You should not be surprised at my saying, 'You must be born again.' The wind blows wherever it pleases. You hear its sound, but you cannot tell where it comes from or where it is going. So it is with everyone born of the Spirit." "How can this be?" Nicodemus asked. "You are Israel's teacher," said Jesus, "and you do not understand these things. I tell you the truth, we speak of what we know, and we testify to what we have seen, but still you people do not accept our testimony. I have spoken to you of earthly things, and you do not believe. How then will you believe if I speak of heavenly things? No one has ever gone into heaven except the one who came from heaven, the Son of Man. Just as Moses lifted up the snake in the desert, so the Son of Man must be lifted up, that everyone who believes in him may have eternal life. For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but to save the world through him." This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Let's pray. Almighty Father, we want to give you thanks for this time now to hear your voice. Open our minds, open our hearts. And also, Lord, the meditation of my mind, my heart, and my words can be pleasant to you. My God, my Redeemer. Amen. As I said today, you are going to suffer with my strong Latin American accent. In the same way we suffer when you send missionaries to us. Like my beloved brother, Bishop John Ellison. Where are you, John? Okay. And thank you for the work you have done in today and in the past, because as I said in my testimony, I met the Lord by the ministry of one of the SAMS missionaries in our midst. Missionaries came to Chile from here, from England, from the United Kingdom, and we received the gospel by their work in our midst. And thank you, you who have been supporting missionary work, not only in South America, but all around the world. Let me start asking you a question. Have you ever thought why God calls us sheep? Why he treats us as sheep? Because we are sheep. And sheep have some characteristic. One of them, it's a weak animal. It can be hurted very easy. Normally, a sheep doesn't defend his life, its life. And the second characteristic is is an animal that suffers of orientation, lack of orientation. We are like that. We also, it's very easy in our life to go to the wrong direction. That is why we say he is the lost sheep. Some people say the black sheep, you know, because it's different. It's very easy in life to get lost. And having that in mind, I want to go to the Bible. The text we read today, based on John chapter 3, is one of the many encounters of Jesus with different people. And what I have in mind, if a person or anyone in the world who has an encounter with Jesus, he or she will never walk the same again. Never. Never. Nicodemus, even before in chapter 1 of the book of John, we find the encounter with some of the apostles, Andrew, Peter, with Jesus. John the Baptist, he never was the same after encountering Jesus. And Nicodemus, before that, when the gospel was written, the main purpose in mind was, but these are written that you may believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that by believing you may have life in his name. When we read the gospel, we have to have that in mind. When I'm reading it, I have to discover where is the Messiah, where is the Son of God. And you will see that meditating the encounter between Nicodemus and Jesus, you will see that. Nicodemus was an old man. He was, as we heard today, he was an important person. He was member of the Jewish ruling council. Member of the Jewish ruling council, important person in the life of Israel. He was a Pharisee. He knew the law. But he came to Jesus in a night. He came in a hidden way. Yeah? Maybe he didn't want anybody to know that he went to talk to Jesus. Maybe another interpretation, he went in the night because Jesus is the light. But what surprised me is when Nicodemus approached Jesus, and Nicodemus said to him, we know who you are, we know. Nicodemus pretended to know Jesus from his religious knowledge, from his religion's background. And he said, we know you are a teacher. Also, he was wrong, because he saw Jesus as an ordinary man, or maybe not so ordinary, but he saw a Jesus as man, not the Messiah. We know you are a teacher. But also, we know that you came from God. Because he found something in Jesus, something different from others, some kind of recognition. But no, he didn't see in Jesus the Messiah. We can say, taking the sheep example, we can say, Nicodemus, you are lost. You are lost. You are going in the wrong way, the wrong direction, about your understanding of Jesus. And then Jesus' declaration to him was, I tell you the truth. No one can see the kingdom of God unless he is born again. Nicodemus wanted to enter into the kingdom of God because in his understanding, he understood that to be part of God's kingdom was important for him. He knew something about that. But when Jesus introduces the concept of born again, he has in mind about a new start, a new beginning for that person. Nicodemus, we can say, you are lost. You cannot have life by yourself. Life comes from God and his Messiah. And the Messiah comes from God. And the Messiah leads people to the kingdom of God. You have to be born again, said Jesus to Nicodemus. What do you do? What do you do? And the answer for that was that everyone who believes in him may have eternal life. Jesus added the concept of believe in the Messiah, but also the concept of be born again. We have to believe. To believe, according to John, is to trust in Jesus as Lord and Savior. Jesus is the one who comes in the name of the Lord. Jesus is the one who comes in order to bring God to people and lead people to God. He's the one who brings God to the people, and the Messiah leads the people to God, and then being together. This is a kind of a rescue mission. Do you remember the experience of the 33 miners in our country? Jesus is like that. Think about that. 33 people underground for 69 days, and maybe you saw on the TV. We thought they were lost, died. Nobody. We never expected to find them alive. We never. From the beginning, my brother is a miner engineer. And he said, Tito, all of them are dead already. It's impossible. It's impossible to find them alive. And they were alive when they found it. Now, if you think they were underground, as we thought, dead, and then the capture went down, in the same way that Jesus came from heaven to us, because we were dead without Jesus, and the capture came, took them up to the surface. And who was there? The president of the country, in our case, greeting every one of them, giving a hug. Now we're thinking in God and Jesus. Jesus, take us to the Father. And then the Father give us a big hug to all of us, united. That's that's a good image to see the work of Jesus. What surprised me, and what is beautiful about Christianity, is normally we think that we have to be the best person in life, a good husband, a good wife, a good son, daughter. But it's not enough for God, because the Lord knows who we are. He knows that very well. And he knows that we are lost without him. But because he knows us very well, he knows our weaknesses, our wrongdoings. But even though he loves us, and he sent Jesus to us to rescue us and lead us to God the Father. In our case, as society, we are, as I said, like sheep, lack of orientation. In life, we think we can find God in some areas or trying to find God in things we do, but normally are wrong. In all around the world today, we are suffering about the effect of postmodernity. Postmodernity, it's a complicated word to understand it because it's a concept. It's a kind of a spirit around the world. And if we are not conscious of that, we can get lost very easy. Let me summarize the postmodern world today, an effect that, or the effects that postmodernism has in our life. I'm going to summarize them in 4 points and 4 P's, in order to, maybe if you can remember later, that will be good. The first P is physical image. Physical image. Today, we have a worship for our bodies. The physical beauty is so important, but day by day, we want to look great. And we are willing to spend all the money. We are willing to spend, even we don't see how much will be, in order to look better. Day by day, gymnasiums are appearing, but not for health, normally in order to look better. All of us, conscious or unconscious, we see that. We want to look better, and we are willing to pay anything in order to get that. A lady, a young lady in my country, was overweight, and she never was happy with her body. She went to a secret place without the knowledge of his her husband. Then, because the effect of the anesthesia, she died. She died. And her husband said, I said to her many times, I love her, even if she is overweight. But she never accepted her body. And she went to a wrong place. And then she died. The second effect of postmodernism is pleasure. Physical image, pleasure. Today we have a worship to hedonism, comfort. If you watch the TV, if you watch all what is around the TV, you will see that everything is in order to lead us for pleasure. Even when in my case, in our country, when it's winter, cold, windy, like a day of like today, but here is your spring, you can see images of the Mediterranean area or the Caribbean people, you know, on the beaches, enjoying a big glass of juice, you know, beaches, warm weather, and calm. Come and have the experience of pleasure. Pay later, pay later, pay later. Don't worry. Be careful, be careful. Jim Packer, one of the great Anglican theologians still alive, I understand Jim Packer is 84 more or less, he wrote a book called Hot Tub Christianity. Hot Tub Christianity. And he explained that even pleasure is coming into the church. Pleasure. Because we don't want to do the work that God has set for us. We want to have a life of pleasure. We are not ready to commit ourselves in order to serve God. Because we want to enjoy life. And normally we see the Christian life as a life that is around the church, but just on Sunday. Please don't bother me from Monday to Saturday. I will come to the church just for Sundays. But we don't have the sense of sacrifice, commitment. What I can do for God? No. I'm so tired, I'm so busy, that I want to enjoy my life after my work, my job. We have lost the sense of sacrifice in order to serve Jesus. And that is the influence of postmodernism also in our lives. The third P is possessions. Physical image, pleasure, possessions. It's a worship of materialism. We want to have more and more money and goods. To have money and to have goods is not bad. It's a blessing for us. But when we make money and the goods at the central part of our life, that's the problem. When we think that our security is on the money we have, that's the wrong vision, but not God's vision for us. People are willing to work hard in order to have more money. A young Christian in our church came to see me and said, I have two offers of work. One is to work in a business, in the business areas, but to work 24 hours a day, or to be ready to work 24 hours a day. But my salary will be like this. And the second job, the salary will be like this, but of course, less money, and you know, having a specific time to work. And he was very tempted to take the first one because more money, more goods. He can buy many things. And I said, if you go to the first offer, for sure you will lose your wife, your children, everything, because you will be slave at the end of the money. Be careful. All of us should be careful. We need money. We need goods for life. But when those things come the center of our life, there we are in a problem. The fourth, physical image, pleasure, possessions, and the last one is power. Power. Today we have a worship to success. Worship to success. All of us want to be the first. We are living in a world of competence. You say, if you think, no, I don't want to be prime minister of the country. No, I don't care about that. Yeah, I'm with you. But you want to be the first in your place. Even people are ready to do everything in order to get the first position, to speak against the boss, against a fellow, to do everything in order to take better and better position. People are willing to work almost 24 hours in order to be the first. The first. At the end, we pay a hard price for that, because we see the effect or the result. Family broken families, children being isolated, having no parents at home because their parents are so busy working. But at the end, the family is affected. We have to be careful also, because this is an influence. It's a kind of the spirit around the world and the spirit of postmodernism. If we are not conscious of that, we can get lost very easy in life. When Jesus met Nicodemus, and Nicodemus came to Jesus, the role of Jesus was to put Nicodemus in the right place. Nicodemus, you have to born again. And why? Because having that encounter with Jesus, Nicodemus never will be the same again. Because Jesus started the work in the life of Nicodemus in this case, and Nicodemus will reshape, will change also his principles for life. Maybe you are suffering some of the issues of postmodernity today. Maybe you are suffering in the way that how your family is, how your behaviors are. Maybe you are suffering because of the money. Maybe you are suffering because you don't have success in life. But if you come to Jesus and you have an encounter with him, you will see how your life will be different at the end. Because Jesus will start to work in you, and he will change your principles, and he will put new principles in you. Jesus will lead you in order to have the right priorities for you and for all of us in our lives. But also, as I said, normally we as Christians are losing the sense of sacrifice for others. Jesus came to us and he did a great sacrifice for all of us. Now, what can we do for others who do not know Jesus yet? In Chile, many times we speak about being missionary churches. In the way I received blessing, I want to give or to share the blessing to others. But because we are so comforted, we want to enjoy pleasure in life, we don't commit ourselves to serve others. And that also comes to the church. And it's very easy to become lazy people, lazy Christians in life. Ask question for yourself, or ask question as church. What are, for example, what are the touching point that the church have to have with the society, or points of contact? It's very easy for churches to become isolated. There is an expression with wagons, to close the wagons, can it be possible? When the church, it's in an image of the Middle East, when the caravan was attacked, all the wagons were closed. Sometimes we are like that. The church closed the wagons, and we are happy. We are a happy family. We are happy enjoying to hear good words from God. We are happy to have nice coffee, nice tea, good cakes, etc. But when we open the wagons and receive others to come, what normally ask that question? When I'm going to different churches, I ask the pastor, what is your point of contact with the world? And work for that. Let me finish telling you two examples. In Santiago, we were ready to close a church because the church was in a depressed area. And in a depressed area, few people were in the church. 7 adults, 5 children, that's all. And then we met. And I thought, we can't do that. We had not been called by God in order to close churches. We have been called by God to open churches, to go to new places. And then I said, hey, don't take the decision. My wife and I will go to that area, and we will do the work in that. That was in a depressed area. After 4-5 years, we were worshiping 300 people every Sunday. 250 regularly, 300 occasionally, every Sunday. Now, when I went to them, I called all of them, okay, we are seven. What can we do for Jesus? You know, what can we do for him? Not for us, for him. And then we decided to work with Marriage Encounter and Youth Encounter. Marriage Encounter is an evangelistic tool. For Chilean society, family is still important. And day by day, our society is suffering of divorce. And we decided to work in that, you know, focusing our ministry among couples, families. And we went to them. We invited people to come for a weekend called Marriage Encounter. We invited them to come to talk about our relationship. And at the end, people knew that it's possible to have a new life in Jesus. Youth Encounter, the same thing. Young people inviting young people for a weekend. For example, one of the thing was, my name is Juan. I'm 15 years old. I grew up in a traditional Chilean family. And when I was 13, I became alcoholic. It's very easy in Chile because, as you know, in Chile, to buy wine is very easy. In some places, you can buy a liter of wine cheaper than a liter of milk. You know, that's my country. Now, but, he said, being alcoholic, I have suffered in this way, that way. But I met Jesus. And Jesus changed my life in this and that. Another testimony can be, my name is Maria. I'm 18 years old. I am a single mother. When I was 12, 13, I fell in love. And then I became pregnant when I was 13 years old. And when my boyfriend knew that, he left me. But I met Jesus, and Jesus changed my life. During the whole weekend, talking about dating, relationship with parents, drugs, alcohol, single mother, etc. And in every testimony is Jesus. But we had to work hard for that. Don't forget, if a person here or in Chile meet the Lord, that person never will be the same again. And that is our work. We have been called by God in order to produce encounters between Jesus and people all around the world. How many say amen? Let's pray. Lord, without you, we are nothing. Without you, we have nothing. But thank you, Lord, because someday you came to us and you saved us and you gave us new life. Help us now, Lord, to be faithful to you and help us to share your good news to other people. Help us to produce encounters between you and others. In your name we pray. Amen.